that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, this 28th day of May. Can you believe May is almost over, and June is almost here? It's a crisp, cool, no, not a fall morning, but a cool spring morning this morning here at the Radio Ranch. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant out there that are joining us all over the country, all over the world. We've gotten reports from, and continue to, from Germany, from New Zealand, from South America, and from all over, of the remnant, those that hear the truth. When the truth is spoken, when the truth of the scriptures are read, it resonates with them, and boy, they hear it no matter where they are. And we also welcome you, Holy Spirit, be here with us today. Well, we'll have the phone lines open after a little while, but we'll open up with prayer first. And Jason, we'd ask if you'd bless us with a prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity. And we just come before you and we just pray, Father, for your guidance and direction upon us, Father. We pray upon that. We pray upon that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on our breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray and petition for the saints. We pray, Father, that you just guide us and direct us. All that we do, bless our hands in the labors that we do. And Father, as our enemies that come against us on many different fronts in this war life, Father, that we're battling, Father, we just pray, Father, that you just give us infinite wisdom, Father, in combating them, Father, as they come against us on the vaccine front, on the health front, Father, and using all kinds of weapons of warfare against us, Father. We just hold up the shield of faith and extinguish each and every one of those fiery darts of the evil one that come against us and ask for them to be completely and totally extinguished and for you to do with them as you see fit, Father. We pray that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and every force that comes against us. We pray that you train our hands for battle, as King David prayed so often. We pray that you just give us more of that Holy Spirit in our lives, Father, as we cry out to you, Father, to deliver us, Father. We look to you as our Savior. We look to you as the Savior of us for our sins, Father, and also from our enemies. We just cry out to you, save us, Lord. As we come before you in this time of the solemn assembly, Father, and as we prepare our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our spirits to gather together there in Branson, Missouri, Father. We just lift this gathering up. We want it to be a blessed one, Father. We want it to be a blessing to you first and foremost, Father, and pleasing in your sight, Father. And as we gather together, Father, we just pray that we can come together and that we can shed the sins and the baggage that we've picked up over the years, Father, and that we can, as we gather together and we sing praises to you and we worship you and we gather in spirit and in truth, Father, we pray that it just be a mighty blessing to you and, Father, and to the remnant, Father. And we just pray that you use it in a mighty and powerful way, that you empower it, Father, and that you just continue to work and prepare the groundwork that needs to be done for that gathering to take place. Claim all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jason. I'd like to make a request that you keep Howard, our brother Howard in Alaska, and his family in your prayers. I received a text pretty late last night that his father was rushed to the hospital, and his mother said that she didn't think he was going to make it, and Howard's prayer at that time was, Lord, if it's his time, take him quickly. And a couple hours later, I did receive a text that his father was called home. So if you would keep Howard and his family in your prayers. In fact, let's go ahead and pray.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we do lift up our brother Howard there in Alaska, Lord. A strong man, Lord. A man that loves you. A man who believes that what he's doing is to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. A man who does not hold back proclaiming that he loves you. And Lord, that he will not bow his knee to Baal, and that there will be no king but King Jesus over him. Well, Lord, I know the feeling of the loss of a father. And no matter how old they are, there's still a void that's left. And Lord, I pray for grace and mercy be upon Howard and his family. And Lord, peace, the kind of peace that passes all understanding, which the world doesn't understand, Lord. But when we are in you, Lord, when we've been washed in the blood, and Howard, I believe Howard baptized him himself, there's a peace, there's an assurance, there's a, oh death, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? And I know, Lord, that he clings to the promise that he will see him again.
Yes, Lord.
For there is no pain, and there is no suffering, and there is no crying, only those rejoicing over serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we can open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. If we have somebody wants to call in, make a comment, or have a question this morning. We are preparing for Branson, as we've been letting you know, been sharing that, and it is fast approaching. It is a week later this year, so but we'll be wrapping up this next week, getting everything loaded up and heading out. Have been getting in some late registrations, still have a little bit of room left, and so as we've said throughout the last few months, if you think you want to come to Branson, we ask you to pray about it. Because as a baptized, repentant, obedient Christian, when you ask of God He answers. It's as simple as that. It's what he does. And so if you will ask, he will tell you. So if you ask, if you pray, Lord, should I go to Branson? He will answer you. We have put out a, because it is a solemn assembly, and for the last 3 months, we have prefaced this solemn assembly and called for the remnant to pray and fast, and we have done the same thing. It's a different assembly this year. It's not just a family reunion. It's not just a gathering of the saints for praise and worship and seeing old friends. It's that as well, but it's also a solemn assembly. It's also a time, as we've said, we've prefaced it with prayer and fasting. It's a time to not just come. It's not just a party. It's a time to come in humility and repentance and to cry out to God. And it's a time for the remnant to cry out to God and to reaffirm their faith in Him and to as the prayer was, to turn from the sins of the past and the thoughts of the past and to return to Him. And so the requirements are similar to coming and taking communion with us. We have closed communion at the church. And so being a solemn assembly, it is for the repentant, the baptized, the obedient saints this year. It's not for those that have not been baptized, if you're of biblical age of 20. You needed to have observed the Passover as well. If you understood the Passover and we put the call out previous to the Passover on April 2nd, how important it was, newsletter articles, you've heard it from the pulpit. We need to observe that everlasting covenant, that it is to be an everlasting observation. It is so important. It even had a makeup day on May 2nd. And so, and this is nothing new. This has been in the newsletters the last couple, and again, you've heard it from the pulpit. But just a reiteration of what it is. And that time is fast approaching. We're looking forward to it. And, I don't know about you guys, but the spiritual attacks haven't ended. They've just got stronger and stronger. But we learned from our pastor that when those type things happen, we know we're on track. We know we're doing the work of our Father in heaven. We know that we're doing what we're called to do. The gates of hell shall come against us, but they shall not prevail. They shall not. And so we're preparing here. Well, I see the phone's ringing. So I guess we can take a caller early this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I just love this Saturday morning program with Coffee with the Ranch Wranglers, even though I'm not much of a coffee drinker. But all right. I'm Steve.
Sure,
from
Steve.
California.
Good morning.
And I need prayer for picketing Planned Parenthood. I have a Planned Parenthood near me. I need prayer for a side partner. I'm blind, and I need prayer for a side partner with a car to help me so that we can picket together and save some babies.
All right. Well, we can do that. Jason, would you do that? Pray for Steve out in California as he goes to come against these ungodly ones.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we lift up Steve in this situation. Absolutely. To you, Father, and we pray, Father, for you just define the person and put together the people, Father, for them to go pick at this Planned Parenthood, this baby mill, Father. We pray, Father, for you just to guide them and direct them, Father, for you to put the people together that they need there, Father, and that they can have a successful mission. We pray that you just use this in a mighty and powerful way, Father, and we pray that you just that you draw the attention and help people to realize, Father, that this is murder and this is killing and this is not right. It's ungodly, Father, and we just ask, Father, for their ventures and their this what they want to do, Father, for you just to bring it to pass and help it to be just successful, and all to your glory and all to your praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
And we also need to protect Donald Trump because we cannot afford to have Hillary win. But you know, although Donald Trump is not perfect, we can't afford another RFK.
Well, have a great weekend, Steve. Thank you.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Tell you what we can't afford is to continue on in the sin that our people are continuing on in.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, but God could absolutely use Donald Trump in a mighty way, but
yes,
there would have to be a convergence similar to Saul to Paul for that to happen. So if you want to believe in a presidential candidate, I mean, always our pastor would say, no king but King Jesus, and Jesus for president. But there is, you know, God could have grace and mercy on this nation, and he could use a man like Donald Trump, but only if there's this conversion similar to Saul to Paul. So if that's your desire, then that's what I would say, that we should be praying.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think it'd be good for the remnant to go back and look at that conversion of Saul in the book of Acts, because when God had these plans to convert Saul, He used, if you look at it in Acts 9, verse 10, it says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord is fixing to give him instructions. And you know, we've prayed for that, haven't we? We have prayed, Lord, here is your servant. Tell us what to do. Here I am, Lord, send me. We've prayed that, haven't we? We've asked. What it is, what would you have us to do, Lord? Here we are. And you know, our prayers have followed along that line. You know, not just on a daily basis, but also just for what we are to do. And you know, I think Ananias was that way. You know, he was a Christian. He was a follower. He was a believer. And I think he had prayed that because that's what happened to him. The Lord came to him. And the Lord called him, and he said, here I am. And he had a job for him to do. We read on. And he said, here I am, Lord, verse 11. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, that he might regain his sight. So see, God had given Saul of Tarsus, as he's converting him to the Apostle Paul, he had given him, would you call that the gift of prophecy that was coming? He had seen in a vision that a man of God was going to come and lay hands on him and heal him so he would regain his sight. And God was using this, of course, to in his master plan, to bring Saul, Paul, into the flock, because he knew he would be a mighty voice. He would become a mighty apostle, because he was going to be forgiven of much. He was going to be able to share much, and share the gospel not only with those in that area, but to expand it into the dispersion as well. But Ananias didn't know that. Verse 13. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. And Ananias, you know, Lord, you know, I told you I'm here. And I've said, send me, Lord, I'm ready to go. But Lord, again, for this guy, this is a bad guy. He's got SWAT teams with him. And he has papers. He's coming here to persecute us. And you want me to go to him? We have to remember Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Because sometimes I think we are given these challenges. We are given these instructions. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 15, "But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." See, God had a plan. Thank God he did. Verse 17, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul..." See, Ananias kind of had a change. Just in a couple verses. Now, you know, it might have taken a little bit of time, but Ananias was obedient. And when God said go, Ananias changed his way of thinking. He changed what he did, what he thought. He changed from saying, Lord, I've heard much about this man, how much harm he did, and now he's here to bind all who call. And the Lord said, no, you go do this. So from the time that the Lord told him to do that, he changed. His obedience grew to where when he entered the house, it's Brother Saul. He has welcomed him in as part of the body. And it's fixing to become official. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized."
Amen.
So, John, I think you're absolutely right. We could pray that for Trump. Because I don't think...
That occurred to me, too, when Steve called in this morning, you know. He's blind, right? But he's got a heart for the Lord. He hears that innocent blood crying out. And, you know, he can't even see, but he's calling for prayer to have someone come and help guide him so that he can protest against these people who are murdering babies, who are sacrificing children to Moloch. And the thought occurred to me, you know, when we get this obedience thing right, when we get this love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, then those greatest gifts will be bestowed upon his people, the true disciples, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And we'll do just like that. We'll say, hey, your sight will be restored. And I can't help but just think that even one day here soon, Steve, that called in this morning in California, his sight will be restored when we put our own selfish desires, wills, wants, and needs behind us and just seek to serve the Lord. What a glorious day that will be.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, if you look around... One thing that I noticed is going through some of the things that have been happening in the news is some of the stuff is just, you know, is bizarre. Some of the stuff that we realize here on a local basis, on a national basis. And, you know, I read this and it kind of made me realize that, yeah, things have just gotten kind of crazy all over. This one says, "Get rid of your goldfish pond because a burglar might drown." A man in Britain was told to get rid of his goldfish pond because on the other side of his 6-foot fence in his backyard, there was his fish pond. And the reasoning for having to take it down is because they had a lot of burglaries in the area at the time, and that they were worried that if a burglar jumped over that 6-foot fence, that he could not see it due to the landscaping and might fall and slip and fall and drown in that fish pond. And, you know, it's just like, what has, you know, as you look at different things like that, I mean, you know, first of all, we just want to shake our head and, you know, say it's unbelievable. Well, you know, first of all, we got to be careful and we got to watch our words, because you know it's right before our eyes and we're seeing these things. And people don't want to believe it, and I hear that all the time: is I just don't believe it, or I just don't want to believe it, or I can't believe it. I mean, how we hear that stuff, it seems like on a daily basis anymore. And you know, the truth of the matter is hey, it's right here before our eyes. If you can hear it, you can see it, and it's happening. You know. Believe it, because otherwise you're just putting yourself in denial, and you're casting a spell upon yourself, because you're accepting it as happening, but then you're not believing it as happening. So you put yourself in that state of being double-minded, and you know it's you know there's things that people need to do about it. But I just want to encourage people. It's like I heard that a lot this last week. It's like, I can't believe this. I can't believe that. That's what they were saying, and that's what they were quoting to me. And, you know, as I thought about it, I was really convicted that even though, you know, people, I can understand saying, you know, I don't want to believe it. I don't like it. I detest what I see, something. But I just really want to encourage people to use different words and to think about it when they're saying it, because, you know, these things are real. And you know, our enemies are masterminds at warring with us. And the intellectual level that they war with us at is something that I don't think we can even I don't even think we can grasp at this point. I think we will be able to, but you know, as of now, for the most part, people don't understand what is taking place there, and it is it's wise to be observant to some of the weapons of their warfare. And I believe that words play a huge part in it. You know, this last week, another thing that I noticed is, you know, some of the big pharmacies, they came, our big pharma came under some heat. And, you know, they went into going into court and taking in their court documents. You know, they had 500 clinical papers, 10,000 speakers on programs. They had, 200 satellite synopsis from 60 international programs, and they had all this documentation for, you know, one of these clinical trials that they were doing. And this is just one of many that came under heat this week. But it was one of many. And when it got down to, you know, they wanted to know, okay, where did the clinical papers come from? Where did all these studies come from? Where did this come from? Where did that come from? Well, it was kind of came from a program called Design Right. That was a company that's what they do is write papers. They're not a research facility. They're not a medical facility. They're not doctors. They're not nurses. They're not in the medical in the field, except for the fact that they write papers for Big Pharma. That's what they do, is they write the papers. And boiled down to it, when they got to the bottom of it, it was one person had written one paper and sent it over to another coworker, and then they sent it in. And I mean, and they turned that in. From that, they manipulated that one paper 500 different ways to get 500 different clinical studies. And you know, I mean, talk about insanity or crazy. You can call it whatever you want, but I'm thankful that they're getting some heat over the deal. I mean, because we've known, you know, our people are the people that know and understand that that's the way that they work. Other people can say, well, I don't believe it. We talk to people that, you know, yeah, they can believe it, and I'm just glad that some of this stuff is coming to light, because I mean that's one of the things is and that's one of the huge main weapons of warfare that's been used against our people for a long time. It's a pharmaceutical doctor AMA medical establishment system, and it's a corrupt system if there ever was one. You know, they're not in the helping people business. They're in the keeping people sick and enslaved business. And they've actually, on a lot of different fronts lately, they've taken a lot of heat. And I think that that's, you know, due to times are changing and people are waking up and people are, you know, people are praying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. Well, let's try another phone call. I see the phone line ringing. Oh, call. You have to call back. 307-745-5913. Yeah, Jason, it's like their house of cards is starting to fall apart, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, you know, it is what you got to think about is, you know, I a couple things that have happened over the last day, but, you know, I mean, you know, it's been really, and I've talked to other people about it. You know, I talked to Brother Paul out there, and we talked about, you know, what's our job to do here on Earth? And, you know, he came up with something, and he shared it with me, and I think it's very applicable. I think it's, and it really hit home with me, you know. And he told me, he called me one day and said, you know, your sole job here on Earth is to train your replacements. And, you know, I mean, what a concept. And, I mean, and that's not your sole job, but that's a good portion of it. And, you know, as you know, this time of year with graduation and people graduating and stuff, and you look at what has happened and what is changing and how drastic the earth is changing, how fast our society is changing, you know, and, you know, the most important thing that a person can teach their children or to instill upon them is fear God and don't stray from Him. You know, and instill those godly principles on, you know, these younger generations. And,
yes,
you know, my prayer is that I can leave a better world than the one that I came into. And a lot of people, you know, oh, that's just a dream. That's never going to happen. That's, you know, what are you going to do? You know, how can you do anything? Well, you can't if you have that kind of attitude. If you have the attitude that we can change, if we can change the course of a nation, if we can change the world, if we can do this, I mean, you look at what's happened with those early disciples after the resurrection of, you know, Jesus Christ. There was a wave that came across the land that it changed the course of the world. And it's possible, but it's not possible if people don't have any faith and don't have any belief that it can be obtained.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, as you start seeing these things, I think it's just encouraging. I mean, it's sometimes you just got to take a step back and just, you know, lift it up to the Father and say, you know, here I am, use me. And, you know, how can you use me? And sometimes, you know, it's you know, if a person lives their life right and, you know, does good to others, it's amazing how many lives a person can affect. And you got to realize that every action that a person takes, it can be either affecting somebody for good or for bad. And, you know, it's there's so much of that stuff that's taken place, and I think that people really tend to take it for granted. There's things that there's always more that a person can do. I mean, and encouraging people. You know, that's one thing that I noticed, that there's so much hope that's gone from society, and people just really don't have hope in anything. You know, they'll turn around and talk about, oh, they have hope and faith in Jesus, and then they, you know, turn around about how crummy everything is. And you know, just words of encouragement to somebody sometimes is all they need to get them back on their for them to get their game back on. And you know, just it's encouraging to be able to encourage people and to be a blessing to people just by, you know, uplifting words.
Yeah, and that's what we're supposed to do. You know, that's part of the full armor of God, praying for the saints, being there to encourage one another to love and good deeds. You never know when even a text to someone that if that's the only way you can get in touch with them, it says, "Hey, I'm praying for you." Call if you need to. You never know when something like that is, that thought comes to you. It's more than likely the Holy Spirit speaking to you, just like He did to Ananias. And you might think, "Oh Lord, you don't want me to pray for that guy. You don't want me to say anything to him. You know what he does. You know how he is. You know what he has, what he said to me." But we need to be like Ananias was, and be receptive to the Holy Spirit, and listen to what it tells us to do. And it may be, like you said, Jason, it may be something so far-fetched, that would never work. Might be something that we think, but it was certainly far-fetched in the days of Ananias. What do you mean this guy Saul? Lord, he's a bad guy. What do you mean go talk to him? But it was, nope, this is my plan. And God has told us his ways are higher than ours. His ways are better than ours. His thoughts are better than ours. He has Romans 8:28 in there, that he works all things for good if we love him. Well, Ananias loved him and he obeyed him. And I like how you put that, Jason, that's what we're to do. We're to encourage one another. And it may be just a word, it may be a prayer, it may be whatever it may be, assistance, a blessing, whatever. That is what we are to do.
Jason and I were blessed to be able to attend a graduation for, one was for my son and one was for pretty much an adopted son of Jason and his wife. And last night they asked me to do the final prayer, and so I sought the Holy Spirit and worked on something that wasn't too long, wasn't something that was going to overwhelm, but also get people to think. And part of what that was I prayed that this graduating class would never be lukewarm, and that they would always understand that you cannot be biblically and politically correct. It's impossible. Prayed for their eyes to be, Lord, to give them eyes to see and ears to hear, and that they would never bow their knee to Baal, and just things like that. But the response that I got at the end of that was just amazing. And we're in a time unlike never before, where people are hungering and thirsting for truth. They understand they've been lied to. They understand that there is an enemy out there that comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And this teaching for so many years of nothing but Jesus loves me, and everything's okay, do whatever feels right, acceptance and tolerance, it's a lie. And they start to understand that. And the teachings of Pastor Peters for the last 35 years are becoming more and more acceptable, because they see the destruction that's going on in this once great JERUSALEM. And they're starting to understand that there's no way back to it but repentance. When my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And, Ephesians 18 is written to Christians, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now it's about time that those that call themselves Christians, and you might as well call yourself a Christian follower of Jesus Christ if you're taking your walk seriously, because unfortunately the name Christian has been hijacked and somewhat perverted.
Exactly.
And it's time we start speaking boldly, like we're supposed to speak. Everything we need to speak is right here in this book. All we have to do is seek it and ask for God to
to do just that. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. That's what will change the world.
Yep. Amen. It did before.
Yep.
Well, folks, we have the phone lines
and
open.
That's exciting. You look at how far we've come. I mean, you know, John's given the benediction at the school.
Yeah. What a blessing it is to be able to do that.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, folks, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment, if you want to call in this morning, here it is, the end of May 2016. Branson just around the corner, and looking forward to that. And still getting some registrations in, phone calls yesterday. People saying, hey, I hope it's not too late, and do you still have room? And, you know, there's still a little bit of room left. So, again, if you prayed about it, if you meet the qualifications, you're a repentant, baptized Christian, and if you're familiar with the Passover, you observed it, either the Passover or the Passover makeup day, you heard the call, and so we encourage you to do that, to pray. And but if you want to come, you need to let us know so we can get you registered. You know, we have some local people that just come for the day, but they let us know, and so we encourage you to do that. Well, let's take this caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment about what you guys were talking about earlier, about the guy having to fill up his fish pond so the burglars went and drowned. Be there?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay. this is just something I thought of while he was talking. When people are brought up with no morals whatsoever, that might all just make perfect sense to them, because the burglars, you know, that all that investigation, police thing, all that makes money. Money is, you know, changes hands during that kind of thing. Judges and jails and lawyers and all that stuff. If you shot all the burglars, what would they have to do? And then all that money wouldn't get passed around. So it's total insanity to people that think like us, but it's probably normal for them.
Well, I think I think there's a couple ways you can look at it. You got the burglar, which is, I think that a burglar would be fall into the same category as a stealer. But also, you know, here's a man that has a fish pond in his backyard, and he's being stole from, by the so-called justice system, which is an unjust system. But he's being robbed from because, you know, he's the one that has to pay for having his pond filled up and having it, you know, have his landscaping redone. And he's being stole from. And it's just another way of thievery. You know, they're stealing from him. You know, I think it's a good way of the way you put it too is you know, that without any morals. I mean, that's the, and I think there's a key right there is we've got to be different than the world. When the scripture says, "Come out of her, my people," we got to come out of her, and we got to come out of that Babylonian system. And you know, when we come out of it, we can't understand it. We don't understand it. We look at it, and it doesn't make any sense to them. But it makes perfect Babylon sense to them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Well, the more you've been...
Okay, well, I saw a comment I wanted to make.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Bye.
All right.
The more you've been indoctrinated in the public school system and through these different groups that have risen up, and, I mean, the more that you think that it's normal, right? But what does it say? What does the Bible say? In the last days, evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. And if we're, you know, you can't see that right now.
Yeah, that's exactly where we are. And the caller made a good point. When you have people that are raised with no morals, and that's what we see in society today. You know, we've read it before. Let's see if it's still there. I think it is. Back in Hosea, there's always a cause and effect as to why and how things are. And, you know, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You know, we are to be a moral people. You hear people talk about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that. Those are for a moral people. Those are for a people that don't have to, for a Bible-believing, moral people that don't have to have 900,000 new rules a year and new so-called laws, man's statutes, to govern them. You know, they are governed by the two greatest commandments, to love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and to love their neighbors themselves. And it's those type of people that Constitution is for, that it works for. But my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you take that morality away, then, and you take that knowledge of God, that knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then they're just left to fend on their own. We read the rest of Hosea 4:6, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And you know, we've said it before, but it's come up before. How many generations are we into this? We're his people, who at one time were called by his name. And you know, grandma and grandpa were Christians maybe, or mom and dad, or great-grandma and grandpa, whatever. But they've forgotten the law of God. They've forgotten who God is. You know, you go back and read the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, and it is the exact same thing that's happened again. And they have forgotten God, thinking that as a people, and this great country has done it on its own just because it exists, and not because of how and what the people in it have done, and in being obedient to God and his blessings on them. And the children have been forgotten. Well, now the children are having children. And there are no morals in a great majority of them.
Yeah, well, you think about it, the indoctrination was mainly, 50 years ago, was mainly in the universities, right? That was where the liberal, communist, socialist professors were. But now, they've had, 30, 40, 50 years to educate the teachers.
Yes.
That are in the school system today, that are teaching anywhere from preschool all the way up through high school, and they gain ground in the higher education, and you wonder. I mean, it's hard to fathom. You know, you don't want to say I can't believe it, obviously, but it's hard to fathom the way that some of these people think, and it's the youth, right? But they understood that. They understood that. Well, that's, you know, they play chess and we play checkers, so what do we have to do? I don't even know what year it was, but what year was it where they made it where you could vote when you were 18, you know, or when you could have women vote? And I'm like, oh no, now he's a hater, you know, because he's saying that women shouldn't vote. Well, no, it's not that. It's the patriarch of the household, the one that's responsible, the covering for the wife and the children, that should be making those decisions that affect those that are under their covering, and that's God's way. That's not man's way. But see, they understood that, and they knew that they had to make it where people who, you know, they basically say your mind's not fully developed until 20. The Bible's clear that there's an age of accountability where a man couldn't go to war. The Bible is clear that when the Israelites fell away, when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments and built the golden calf and sacrificed and worshiped to him, that God was furious and was going to wipe them all out. But Moses pleaded with him, and God said, okay. But all of those that are over the age of 20, who were of the age of accountability, will not see the promised land, and
yes,
they died out in the desert.
Yes.
So, and, you know, we missed that, I think, that
the critical importance of understanding the enemy. You know, our pastor told us many times, the enemies of God understand this book, the Bible, better than most Christians. And they do. And that's why they brought in pornography, and they brought in all these magazines that might as well be pornography in the grocery stores. And you know, this pornography stuff, it's free, right? It's everywhere. You can access it pretty much anywhere you want. You think that's by accident? No. It's probably done more. It's a conduit to demons, done more to destroy marriages and
by design
than probably any one thing.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, it worked in the days of old, you know.
Yep.
When the Philistines were told to dress up your women, dress them up fancy, your wives and your daughters, and parade them out in front of the Israelites and cause them to sin. You know, yep. It worked 4,000 years ago. It still works today. But greater is he that is for us than these things that come against us. And John, you're absolutely right. As our pastor taught, our enemies seem to understand this Bible greater than we do. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's because the people don't read their Bible. It's because the people don't pray to God. It's because the people don't obey the word. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. No, they just want to, you know, listen to the dirty bird in their pulpit that says, no, just raise your hand, brother. Do you want Jesus to come into your heart? Just raise your hand. Oh, there you go. There's one. Oh, there's another. Yes. And just say, Lord, I've sinned. Come into my heart. Yep, there you go. You are covered. You're done. That's all you can do. And they believe those lies.
Yeah. It's almost like go out and sin instead of sin no more.
Right. It is.
Because they're teaching them the lie that grace, you know, grace, it covers everything. You do whatever you want. You know, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're good to go. And, I was trying to tell the men that I lead the Bible study on Wednesday morning about that. I actually decided that I'm going to start just bringing to them some of the things that we bring to the remnant, maybe toning them down a little bit just not to scare them off right off the bat. But
right.
this week I had the opportunity to bring something I brought to the remnant called Overcoming the World. And you start out with, you know, the things of this world are moving more quickly than ever. The events before us in these next months and years will challenge who we are, what we believe, and will test our faith and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever before. And I started out with reading Psalms 7, 8 through 10. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reigns. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. And I had 8 pages, and I sent it out ahead of time, and there was 4 men who didn't show up that probably didn't want to hear the truth. And I told them, I said, I know why you don't want to hear this, because you think if you don't know, then you won't be held accountable. I got news for you. You had the opportunity to know, and you didn't, so you're still going to be held accountable.
Right.
But what was really interesting was 8 pages I sent to them, all different scriptures, assigned each man different scriptures and to come up with questions. And we only made it through the first page, and it went a half hour longer than normal. So instead of an hour, it was an hour and a half, and we only made it through the first page because they never heard these kind of things before. They never heard that there's a God who judges. There's a God who hates the wicked. And they're like, well, we never heard that, you know?
Because they don't
read the Bible. What an opportunity, you know? And everyone who's a member of this body has this information. It's been given to them. They've been blessed to sit in the pulpit or, you know, in the pews or receive from the radio or shortwave or whatever these truths that our pastor taught us for years and truths that have been revealed to us over the past several years.
Amen.
And every one of us can share that. We can start these prayer breakfasts. We can start with the milk and then get into the meat. people are hungering and thirsting. Like I said, we have an opportunity like never before. Shortwave has an opportunity more than ever before, and it's growing. And, you know, there's additional transmitters that can reach different parts of the country and different parts of the world. And, you know, that's whatever the Lord wants done is what we want done. May the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's time for us to speak boldly as we're told to speak, and not worry about political correctness and not worry about persecution, and, you know, just take a stand right now, right? Choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen. Romans 1:16 tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So there are some that are ashamed. In Matthew, Jesus himself said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. So we still have a choice. You know, we still, remnant people out there, we still, you have a choice. You can be ashamed of the gospel or not. You need to not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of life. The power of life.
Amen.
Well, as we wrap up another morning of Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coffee's just about gone, and the hour's just about gone. We do want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. And at those times, click on the live video stream that you'll see right there on the homepage at scripturesforamerica.org, and join us. We'll have a scriptural insight. You'll see John there with a welcome and some scriptures, and we'll have certainly some praise and worship music, some Holy Spirit-inspired music. And you can have fellowship with the saints. You can have communion. It's important that we do that, that we gather together, and that we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he tells us, do this in remembrance of me. And we will do that tomorrow, the good Lord willing. And so it's important that we do that. It's a chance to step away from the world, to praise and worship the King of Kings. And we will certainly have a Holy Spirit-inspired message as well. And so we encourage you to join us there. And so, men, again, thanks. We're about out of time. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766. LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Proposal stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more. Ride them out, ride them more!
Stay kind!
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out,
ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide.
starts calculating, parking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, move 'em out, move 'em out, head 'em off, big high.